Thank you, Madam Clerk. Could you please call our one item?
Item number one is a hearing regarding theft scams targeting older Asian women.
Thank you. This is an item that has been sponsored by Supervisor Eric Marr. Supervisor Marr, the floor is yours.
Thank you, Chair Avalos. Thank you for coming, everyone, this morning. Since the past few months, we've been hearing, especially in the Chinese media, of these types of theft scams targeting Chinese elderly. They've made me very angry, not just because it's criminals preying on some of our most vulnerable in our communities, but also it's been heavily impacting not only Chinatown, but also the Richmond and the Sunset District. But I wanted to say that I really am appreciative of the law enforcement and community-based agencies that are here with us today and how they've really worked together to try to crack down to make sure that people are aware of these scams and that we can, as a city, kind of move forward to prevent them for the future. So this hearing is on a number of these types of scams that have happened over the past few months. They tend to target older Chinese women in San Francisco. And since January of this year, there have been a series that have been reported. Again, it's older Asian or Chinese women, and it involves the theft of jewelry and money obtained under false pretense. Nearly 50 of these cases have been reported in San Francisco, and it's totaled over $1.5 million of losses in cash and jewelry. And many of these cases also, again, have taken place not only in Chinatown, but also in the Sunset and the Richmond District. Similar cases also have been reported in New York, Chicago, Boston, and Seattle. I wanted to invite up a number of the reps from our law enforcement and community agencies, from the police department, the San Francisco District Attorney's Office, Rebecca Prozan, and also from SF Safe, David Chan. So first I'd like to invite up Lieutenant Art Stellini. And he's the chief investigator. Thank you, Lieutenant Stellini.
Thank you, and good morning, supervisors. As the lieutenant in the Special Victims Unit, overseeing the Financial Crimes District, the responsibilities of these crimes have fallen under our umbrella. And as you can see in the handouts before you, to date of 2012, we have approximately 50 of these such cases reported to us. They're broken down into series. We have the first series, which was a major series in the beginning of the year, which totaled approximately 35 police reports. In that case, we originally detained six people at San Francisco International Airport. From those six, three were charged criminally here in San Francisco, are in the custody awaiting their court hearings. There's another court hearing set for tomorrow on arguments on that case. The second series was approximately another 12 police reports, 12 victims here in San Francisco. We have no arrest in that series, though we do, we have identified our suspects by photo, but not by name. Our third series are two victims, and on that one we captured the crime actually of one of the victims on video. And we have that video here today to show you if you would like to see it. It's approximately 4 minutes long.
Actually, yes, that would be good. I know we also have Captain Garrett Tom of the Central Police Station that's here with us today, besides Assistant District Attorney Rebecca Prozan and David Chan, but I think it would be very good to watch the video.
Yeah, I have it preloaded. It's set to go, but I don't know how to get it on your big screens.
So, Dina, do we know how to get this going?
I think you just start the video, and I'll put the mic on.
Okay. But there's no, I'm sorry, there's no audio on this. It was captured from a residence security camera.
Okay.
And turned over to the police.
So we'll just view the video.
Okay.
And you could talk over it, too, if you can explain what's happening.
Well, while you're watching the video, what you need to pay attention to is at some point the female hands over a bag to another female. And then another suspect joins hands with our victim, almost like they're praying. And at that point, the bag switch is made, unknown to our victim. And that's when the money switch is made. And the bags, as you'll see, will be identical.
I think we need to hit play. Yeah, there it goes.
That's your victim handing over the bag. And the lady in the rear there just made the bag switch with the main suspect.
And there's the praying.
Yeah, she had already touched her hands. That two of the women will leave, and another woman will leave with our victim. Two of the suspects will stay and wait for a fourth suspect to arrive, who takes the money and walks away, a much younger Asian lady.
And how was this caught on video? This is from
this
a store.
This is from a security camera from a personal residence. When the inspectors went out and scoped the area and rang some doorbells, one of the things they look for are the cameras. The lady off to the far right has the money. She's already made the switch. And as usually in these types of cases, the victim's told not to open up the bag, not to touch it for several days. Sometimes it's 2 weeks, 3 weeks, a month. And for the most part, that's what they do. Now, there are cases where they start having doubt and they question, their actions, or they'll tell somebody what happened to them. And then they realize they may have been duped, and they look inside their bags, and then they discover they've been a victim of a crime. There are several different ruses that they'll use when they confront somebody on the street. These are strangers. Our suspects, these women here, they're trained at what they do. They hone their skills. They're very good. They realize that when they commit their crimes, here's a handoff right now of the fourth or fifth suspect who comes in, puts the bag in another bag, and walks away.
Okay.
So they separate. They're not together. The one suspect who actually has the cash, our victim's never seen. So she's walking down the street. Our suspects get detained. The money's not there. Common like when I used to work narcotics. One person would hold the narcotics. Another one would hand off the money. So if the person with the narcotics got arrested, the person with the money ran free. So again, they're trained at what they do. They practice their skills. I strongly believe that they target their victims. They watch their victims. They watch to see if they're alone, to see if they're coming, if they have a purse on them, if they're coming out of a store. Realize they're not taking the money that's in their purse. They have the victims go to their homes and take the cash. They'll tell them such stories as, your father years ago stepped in blood, and now he has evil spirits. And if, we don't pray together, if you don't bring me your money and your jewelry and pray, something bad will happen to you or your children. And this is just one of the stories that they spin to win their confidence and get them over. And again, it sounds like it's far-fetched. But again, in San Francisco, we've had over 50 of these. And again, and the thing to notice is that these are the ones that are reported to us.
Lieutenant Stellini, can I ask, how do the scam artists advertise that they're going to provide this service to people? And how do they get their victims to know that they're going to?
Well, it's a series. All these women approach their victim as strangers. Okay. One does not know the other as they spin their story to the victim. They'll approach the victim in one instance and say, I need to go to the doctor. Do you know where there's a doctor's office? And the victim will say, no, gee, I don't know. Then another lady will say, yes, there's a doctor's office down the block. So they start them something that simple, and before you know it, you have five women engaged in the conversation. They bring her down, they get her to a comfort zone, but also they're overwhelming her. One is building on the other one's statements. So when they tell her that the evil spirits are coming, that something's bad going to happen to their family, the other two or three will, reinforce that statement. And again, they're working on our elderly community. That's who they're targeting.
Can I ask you, of the 50 reported cases, do we have any sense of, I'm sure it's embarrassing if you've been ripped off like this, but do we have any sense of how many people have not reported this?
No. I would venture to say for the 50 reports that we have, there may be another 50 to 100 out there that are not reported. It's very tough for an elderly person to admit something's wrong, not only in these types of cases with the elderly, but in all sorts of different life consequences that our elderly face every day, that they do not want to report what's happened to them, to the police, or to family members, as it may alter their lifestyle. So we kind of covered over how the crime is and who our suspects are and who our victims are. So to date, as I was saying earlier, we have three people in custody here in San Francisco. Two of the three here in San Francisco are still awaiting charges in New York based on their crimes there. Of the six that we detained at SFO, a warrant was issued for her out of New York. They came and picked her up about 2 months ago and extradited her back to New York. Two of the other people we detained at the airport, Boston, secured warrants for their arrest, but decided not to extradite them to their county.
Are there any other questions for the lieutenant?
Just really briefly, thank you, Lieutenant. When was the period of time that these arrests were made?
They were made about 2 months ago, 2-3 months ago. And the arrest was gathered through working with the Special Victims Unit. For a 2 to 3 day period, we had every inspector in that unit working on this case. Over 30 people working on it. That's what it took. We were in communications on two or three occasions simultaneously with New York, Boston, Chicago, and U.S. Immigration Services.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you so much, Lieutenant. The next speaker is our Captain Garrett Tom of the Central Police Station. Thank you, Captain.
Good afternoon, Supervisor Barra Avalos Olagi. What I'm going to talk about is what we have done at Central Station. We've done a tremendous outreach. In addition to our outreach, we've also started a mini task force just to focus on this crime. And the mini task force includes five officers, all bilingual. They speak Chinese. They saturated the area when this was going on. And they did a lot of investigation and retrieved video through the investigation and rewalked all the crimes. They re-interviewed victims and just did countless work. And I'd also like to thank David Chan from SAFE, who also helped us with translations. In our outreach, we wrote three flyers to the community for them to post, also videos. The video that you just saw, we showed them at the senior centers, Chinese newcomer service centers, town hall meetings with the district attorney's office, Chinatown Community Development Center. I have a senior lunch program that I go with my footbeat once a month, and we go to a senior center. And after we serve the seniors lunch, we also show them the video. And we had a lot of positive feedback, and some of the seniors even told us that they were approached by these people. In addition to that, David Chan and I, we went to Tsing Tao Radio and did a call-in show, and we also provided an anonymous tip line. So we got a lot of clues from that opportunity there. Chief Sir and Commander Beal, they both went on Chinese television also. We had a media blitz with the World Journal, Tsing Tao Daily, where they covered this story almost every day during the height of this heinous crime. The people in my task force, they took it very personally, just like you, Supervisor Mark, because most of them were from the community, and it wasn't a 10-hour, 8-hour job. These officers were very dedicated. When they were off, they worked on this case without pay. I had inspectors from the Richmond come to my house at night because they had a clue and they were off duty. And we did make a we made lots of progress in this case at the time, and where we recovered video and pictures of the suspects. Some of the videos that we distributed were to banks in Chinatown, such as the East West Bank, Bank of the Orient, Wells Fargo, Bank of America, Citibank, Chase Bank, First Republic. So there was a tremendous outreach. In fact, the last victim, she knew about this scam already, but she still, she still fell for it because of, I guess, the pressure and the superstition and beliefs. We haven't stopped, and we're still going to have more outreach. I have another senior lunch coming up, and I think the district attorney's office is also scheduling more outreach to the community. But that's just a little overview of what we've been doing here at Central Station.
Captain Tom, do you know when the six suspects were arrested? What time or what date they were arrested?
Yeah, this was in the first series?
Yeah.
This was before I got to Central Station, but this was a while back. I think Lieutenant Stellini would have that information.
And then the second series and third series have decreased significantly, but there's still people out there that are conducting these scams.
Right. Once we got the outreach, the video that came out, I know my officers were in Chinatown, and they said as they were walking around, everyone in the community were talking about this scam, and I think that scared them off. But we had to make a decision with economic crimes whether to broadcast this or try to catch the people, but we felt it was much more important to not ruin any more lives, so we broadcasted it over the media. And I think the media, both American media and Chinese media, did a outstanding job.
Thank you, Captain.
Thank you.
I did want to also say that we have also Inspector John Loftus that's with us here today as well. Oh, Supervisor Avalos.
Question probably for the inspector as well. Are we seeing continuation of reporting of people being scammed, of senior Asian members of the community being scammed like this?
You know, Supervisor, I think that based on the tremendous outreach we've had, I think we're getting most of these reports. Generally speaking, when an elderly person loses their life savings, we're going to hear about it. I understand there is a bit of a disconnect sometimes with the elder Chinese community, especially if they're immigrant population. But based upon the outreach we've done at Central Station, that Captain Tom has done, a lot of the work the Special Victims Unit has done with the DA and with SAFE, I feel pretty confident we've identified the vast majority of these victims, if not all of them. You know, it's interesting in this case is as Captain Tom said, the last victim, the victim we watched the video on, and the video is a little better than it came across in the screen, so it was daytime. That victim was told about this scam a week prior at work. So our outreach, we feel, is working. I think that's got a lot to do with the number of the big reduction we've seen in these cases. What we're dealing with here is the six suspects that were arrested, and it was back in May of this year when they were arrested. The six suspects arrested were all Chinese nationals. So they come in much like different theft group we have from, like, the Central American theft groups that come up on occasion. There's a theft group now that targets older Hispanic people. A lot of times they travel throughout the United States, and they go from city to city, much like these are doing. And when there's Chinese nationals like we had here, they're very difficult for us to identify, and by the time we have identified them, they're off into another town. So that's why, like, on the ones we were able to identify and arrested at the airport, Boston had a couple of warrants for them. Yeah, they'd been in New York, and then they're gone. So it's a very complicated investigation. It's an investigation we're working with. The FBI's got a parallel investigation. Special Victims Unit meets frequently, and they exchange information with the FBI on this case so that we have a little broader reach nationwide, and we can be a little more successful in both the prosecution and the identification of these suspects. And that's kind of where we're at. But I think, you know, our biggest success here has been the outreach we've done and just getting the word out to the population that that this is going on and to please be careful. And not only to the potential victims, but Captain Tom has gone to the banks, you know, especially the Chinese banks, the banks that are frequented by Chinese people, saying, hey, if you've got an elderly person that comes in here and withdraws $40,000 in cash, please let us know immediately or detain them, find out what they're getting the cash out for, you know, so they don't put it in a bag and walk down the street and give it to these other people. So that's just building upon what you've already heard.
Thank you. And I did want to acknowledge what Captain Tom said about the officers and the inspectors really going above and beyond kind of the call of duty to really put your heads together and really come up with great community strategies based on your knowledge of Chinatown, but really making an effort to raise as strong awareness as possible through community education with SF Safe and others too. But did you have any questions, Supervisor Olagi?
Okay. I can imagine that this is an issue that occurs in other areas, I know. So I'm just wondering if you've received many complaints from other groups. You know, I know in Chinatown, obviously, they're being targeted, but is it really uncommon in other neighborhoods?
Oh, absolutely. Several of these cases have occurred out in the Sunset, the Richmond.
I'm wondering if other ethnic groups are being targeted for something similar. That's what I'm asking. Because I know that I was actually approached about 10 years ago in a similar manner. So imagine that it's something that occurs, you know. Of course, that was just one random incident, but.
This particular scam tends to deal on an Asian suspicion. The other scams, there's a lotto scam that is very prevalent in the Hispanic community right now.
That's what I was wondering.
So it's whatever the flavor of the day, whatever they think they can get away with, they will do.
As Supervisor Marr mentioned, I think it's important to work with some of the senior groups right now to inform seniors of this, because maybe they're the most vulnerable people that are being targeted, but I imagine that it occurs in all age groups, you know.
Absolutely, the seniors are the most vulnerable.
Yeah.
And that's where we concentrate our outreach efforts.
Can I ask this to either Inspector Loftus or Lieutenant Stellini or Captain Tom? Who's orchestrating all these? Because if they're Chinese nationals, and it seems like it's orchestrated, who's at the top kind of coordinating this? Do you know?
I don't think we know yet. There's obviously some central command structure in their group, or there may be multiple command structures, there may be multiple groups. It seems to be happening so much. It doesn't take too much of a criminal moxie to put together a group of four or five people and just target individuals on the street and say, you know, you stepped in some blood, now you've got bad luck, and you better bring down all your money and jewelry, and we'll bless it for you.
Okay. Thank you.
You're welcome.
Next speaker is Assistant District Attorney Rebecca Prozan, and thank you so much for the prosecutions on this case, these cases too.
Thank you. Good morning, Supervisors. It's a pleasure to be here. Thank you for the opportunity to talk about our outreach efforts on these horrible cases. It's important to District Attorney Gascon to use the office as an educational tool so that we use our resources to let seniors and everyone know that the best way to prevent crime is by education. Cases like these can grow exponentially, especially if thieves are successful, it spreads. And the only way to stop that is to let folks know individually and by a group. We have been doing a lot of elder abuse, financial abuse education starting in May for Elder Abuse Awareness Month. We were in the Tenderloin and did a forum on elder abuse at the Self-Help for the Elderly's Downtown Senior Center. We did a merchant walk and a community forum at the Self-Help for the Elderly in Chinatown in May. Over the past couple of months, we've worked with a number of community-based organizations like Asian Pacific Islander Legal Outreach, Adult Protective Services, Cameron House, Self-Help for the Elderly, and then our city partners, Adult Protective Services, SF Safe, another community-based organization, the Asian Pacific American Community Center, as well as our colleagues at the San Francisco Police Department, to hold educational forums in the community for seniors to understand, don't give over your jewelry, don't give over your money. It's not a good idea. We've had four forums, the first one in May in Chinatown. We had a second one in Chinatown, a third in the Outer Sunset, and then yesterday we were actually at Visitation Valley. Every single one of these forums has been jam-packed, standing room only. We estimate we've educated over 500 people. We have bilingual flyers on elder abuse that address all these issues that are also in Spanish and Russian. I've brought copies for you to have in your offices. At the forums, we show the video that's been discussed. It's a 10-minute video that actually goes through a scam, so people see how you're approached, what happens, why you shouldn't do it. And it's a very moving video. I've brought extra copies of that as well. All of the meetings have obviously been translated so that we make sure that we're accessible to everyone and anyone who wants to come. We've met with all the victims of the cases, not just the one in the charge case, so that everybody knows what's happening. And we've had significant media coverage on all of the community forums. The DA's been interviewed on Chinese radio, on KTSF Channel 26. We've had mainstream and Chinese press at every single one of these educational forums. And we also hold a monthly ethnic media briefing where we've highlighted these cases every single time, as many times as we can get the word out there. We obviously want to do that. We also have victim services office hours in the neighborhood. And we are there at Cameron House in Chinatown every Wednesday from 9:30 to noon. In fact, one of the mornings that the DA and I were doing a site visit there, one of the victims from one of the cases actually showed up. DA was able to talk to her about, you know, what happened, and we've been talking to that victim as well as the other victims in the other cases.
So, Ms. Prozan, so Cameron House is on Sacramento and Stockton Street. When are those?
Every Wednesday from 9:30 to noon. And then on October 27th, we're actually having a Chinatown Resource Fair to bring the community-based organizations and city departments to Portsmouth Square. So we're going to highlight this issue again so that, you know, as much as we can get the word out to people, we will. Happy to answer any questions.
Thank you. Are there questions? Actually, let me just ask about victims' services for the district attorney's office. So if somebody's lost a bunch of cash and some jewelry, how soon might they be able to recover their stolen property if you've apprehended six people, but do you know how quickly somebody could recover their losses?
Supervisor, that's actually one of the difficulties in the cases is because it's hard to identify money, right? So even in just for sake of example, someone loses $10,000, they can't necessarily identify those $100 bills as theirs or those $50 bills as theirs, especially if they're all mixed together. One of the things that we've stressed at every meeting is for people to actually take a log or an inventory of their property at home. Even jewelry has been difficult. And I think that's one of the problems with the cases as they are.
Okay. Thank you. Supervisor Avalos.
Thank you, and thank you for your presentation. Just thinking about outreach that might be able to happen in my district where there have been in some incidents, and not as many, but the Mission Y is a good place. There's a senior lunch that happens there just about every day. They're on Mission Street by 280. There's also the Excelsior Community Center, which is on the corner of Excelsior and Mission Street. They have a senior program there as well. Lots of senior citizens in there. Both are multi-ethnic. In the OMI, there's the IT Bookman Center. The IT Bookman Center. They're on Randolph and Victoria. The Temple United Methodist has also a senior program there as well. And the Luther, there's a Lutheran church on Beverly, close by there, a couple blocks up. Those are all good places to do outreach. There's also a Korean group on Broad Street or Sagamore that also is worth doing outreach as well.
Thank you. I'd be happy to work with your office on a meeting.
Thank you so much, Ms. Prozan.
Thank you.
The last speaker is David Chan, who's the public outreach coordinator for SF Safe, which is safety awareness for everyone. Thank you so much for the great community work that you've done over the years as well.
Thank you for having me here today, supervisors. They all said what I want to say, but I want to point out one thing is SAFE plays a major role in working with SFPD and the DA office in the educational forum programs in this scan series. However, SAFE also do another one, is educating the younger generation, that means the middle-aged parents, because there are still a lot of seniors who don't go to community centers. They may be illiterate, they may not be able to access to televisions because the grandchildren manipulate the usage of the television. So they are actually out of touch with the world. And these are the very vulnerable targets once they step out on the street alone. So we want these people to go back and tell their elderly parents, particularly their elderly Asian woman parent, to be aware of this kind of scam. Everybody say that this is something recent. Actually, this is not. This is a century-old kind of scam generated from the fear of an ancient belief in supernatural power. When I was a kid, my grandma telling me a lot of stories, you know, at that moment, you receive this kind of story, and it really stay in your memory. If there's anyone who came to you and telling you something will happen to you because some evil thing is attached on your body, there will be a strike of fear. You will be overwhelmed with fear, and then other people come in, coerce, and overwhelming you with emotions. You lost your conscience, and you follow the instruction. That's also given the impression that these perpetrators, they believe they are using or application drugs to make the victims unconscious and follow instructions. There's no evidence so far. Even when I was working in Hong Kong, we never found any evidence on that. But there's a strong belief in that. A second thing I want to say is language barriers. We found out that in this, once we have the attack in the San Francisco, we found that there's a huge limitation in this language services. I'm helping, and actually I was donating a lot of my personal time in translating some documents for SFPD because they can't find or they don't have an officer who have this capacity of getting documents translated. Well, I think I covered most of my points because
you know, SFSAFE has really a great track record working with raising awareness on elder abuse and many other issues in the communities. Any other questions for David Chen?
I just want to say thank you for your work, and I really believe you go across the entire city above and beyond, and you talk about volunteering your time, and I'm sure you do that a lot. I just want to say thank you for your service. It's really important, and we rely a lot on you in the city, and there should be more of you in terms of doing what you're doing, so thank you.
Yeah, I think you're right. It should be more of me, but unfortunately, there's only one of me in the entire San Francisco State. Also, I can't find another one even in SFPD or the DA office.
Can I just say that one thing that really angers me about these scams are many seniors are really isolated, like you're saying, and they don't have maybe a younger person to talk with them about being careful. So they're so isolated that they don't talk to others. And I'm hoping that SFSAFE or the senior organizations
And many community-based groups can really do more to reduce that isolation for many older folks. But I think that's a broader issue than what kind of the law enforcement and others can deal with here today. But I see that as targeting the most vulnerable that are isolated is kind of like what many criminals do. But.
Well, another thing is there's also a serious lack of knowledge of the U.S. criminal justice system. And they don't know how to follow this system. And then sometimes the victim believes that if I make a report to the police, all my lost property will be recovered and that I get payback. That is not true because a long process of legal process. And sometimes they get frustrated and they don't, what's the point of going to the police? And there's also a cultural thing is they feel ashamed and some of them they don't even want to tell their family because being a senior in the family and you get cheated, it is a very disgraceful kind of thing in a family. So they try to hide and they're not coming forward to report. But luckily, because people coming out and there are a lot of reports made, but I believe there are still some unreported cases.
Thank you, Mr. Chen.
Sure.
Supervisor Araki?
Yeah, we've worked a lot with SAFE on different issues, so I'm really grateful for the work that you all do. But I haven't heard anything yet from constituents in the districts, but there is a large senior population. Not all of them are... you know, or many of them from here. So I'll check in with the senior centers and then work with you if we hear anything.
Actually, on the 10th, I'm going to Kimochi.
Oh, Kimochi. Yeah, yeah. I'll check in with Kimochi and other groups that, you know, that are in the neighborhood. So.
Yeah.
So thank you.
Thank you. If there are no other questions, let's open this up for public comment. Is there anyone from the public that would like to speak? Seeing none, public comment is closed. I just wanted to, if there are no other comments from my colleagues right now, I'll just say that this is really a great example of law enforcement and community from SF Safe and the District Attorney's Office working together immediately to deal with the first, especially the first series, and it's pretty clear that there's been a decrease, but the community awareness that you're doing is really encouraging. So thank you so much to the police, district attorney, and SF Safe, and the senior organizations that were mentioned today. I also wanted to say that I think the amount of media publicity with some of the Chinese media especially and some of the other mainstream media has really helped to raise awareness. But I think much more needs to be done with especially the isolated seniors and others. So I'm glad that it's continuing. Also working with the FBI as well on prosecuting and really trying to identify the key root causes of these types of scams. I also wanted to say that I think the town halls and the community meetings that you're doing I think are really critical. I'll make sure that my office is participating and supporting with the DA and the police department's materials, especially in Chinese, but also you mentioned Russian language materials for our neighborhood too. And working with the media to really keep the awareness up. I wanted to also say that next week, I know that SF Safe is working with my office to raise awareness in the Richmond District with merchants and seniors as well. We'll probably work with the Jackie Chan Center, which is self-help for the elderly, and many others to continue the public education, at least in my district. I also wanted to... we'll reach out to the police department and the DA's office also to really join us in raising as much awareness as we can in the Richmond District. In the next workshops that you're doing, please let, I think, all of our offices know so that we can help broadly get the outreach, especially in, it looks like it's not just Chinatown, the Richmond, and the Sunset. It's Bayview District, there's Ingleside, especially, and the Southern District as well, it looks like, are impacted by a number of cases. So it's really spread kind of, the incidents are all throughout the city, it looks like. But thank you so much for being here. I wanted to also say that, as David Chan said, these are scams that will maybe keep coming up in different types of ways, so that the work that all of you are doing on to prevent elder abuse kind of is also the broader issue too. So, but thank you so much for the great work. If there's no other comments, I'd just like to move that we continue this item to the call of the chair.
Okay. That we can do without objection. We'll continue this item to the call of the chair. I want to thank DA's office, police department, Mr. Chan from SF Safe for your presentation and for your work. I'm glad we saw the video because it really gave me a sense of what, you know, people are, how they're being preyed upon, and maybe very angry. I think it's really important that we actually have a good understanding of that, and so it was educational for me. And Francis Shea in my office is the best person to contact around how to do the outreach in our district as well, at District 11. Okay, thank you so much, and we'll adjourn this meeting.